All right, you can be seated. We're looking at part two in John 20, verse 10, we looked at this morning, and looked at the things about Satan. But we're going to be in Revelation 20, verse 11 tonight. Revelation 20, verse 11. I'm going to read verse 10 also. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So, when you look at these end times, and we see them on the horizon, this period of time at the great white throne judgment is after the 7-year tribulation period, they call it, Daniel's 70th week. Jesus comes back, and then the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Then there's a great white throne judgment. The majesty of the throne, it's great. The purity of the throne, it's white. And that's important to understand those aspects of what this great white throne is. And in verse 11, the judge is on that throne. What's the identity of the judge? He's the son that will judge the lost. He's the son that will use his word to judge. We know that in our study of John. But go ahead and turn to the book of John and let's look at the scripture, because I've got to make sure that I don't just quote it and it just seems less important. I'll quote scripture every now and then, but I'll have you turn there as much as possible. In John chapter 5, we'll look at verse 22. And the Bible says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Now, you have the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. We talked this morning, you've got the Trinity of the wicked one too. You know, he's the beast, the false prophet, the Antichrist. He's the imitator of all that is good and all that is godly. But here, the Father judgeth no man. Now turn to John 12, because I also pointed this out as we were studying John 5. That some people think, well, I'm going to get before God and then He's going to sort of give me a pass because I'm a pretty good person. I'm not so bad. I haven't killed anybody. I'm not a thief. I'm a pretty good person. Listen, there are some pretty good people out there, but you need to be saved. You must be born again. That's what the Bible says. You must be born again. Well, in John 12, 48, we're told how this judgment will work. He that rejecteth me, that's Jesus Christ, and receiveth not my words, those are the words of God, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. It's going to be the word. God can open up this book and judge anybody. It tells you what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. The thing is, in order to avoid that judgment, you do one thing, you get saved. That's it. Then you're not at the great white throne judgment. You'll be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll be judged according to your work, whether it be good or bad, or what sort it is, the Bible says. But you will not be at this judgment that we're looking at right now. In Acts chapter 10, if you'll turn there, let's look at a verse there in verse 42. The Son is the judge of the quick and the dead. Now what, if you cut your finger to the quick, you cut it to where there's life. So He's the judge of the quick and the dead. That's the saved and the lost. And He tells you that in Acts chapter 10, verse 42, and He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. He's the judge of quick and dead. That's who the Son is. All judgment is committed unto the Son. He will use the Word to judge. Again, I'll quote this verse to you. Well, no, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter because we're getting ready to go to 2 Peter next. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, toward the end of your Bible, right before the book of Revelation, shortly before that. But again, it gives you the same thought and insight in 1 Peter 4, 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. We're going to give an account. Christians will give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. You will not be judged according to your sin, but your sin will affect your work. And you will either receive a reward or you will lose all of the reward that you thought you might have. Your work will be gold, silver, and precious stones. You'll receive a reward. Wood, hay, and stubble. The fire will burn it up, but the Bible says, yet so as you're saved, yet so as by fire. It might wipe out your whole life's work. If you have lived for self, and you've done good things, but your motive was self, wood, hay, and stubble. If it's to give glory to God, and it's to magnify the Son. That's gold, silver, precious stones. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. People should fear being judged by God if they're lost. In 2 Peter 3:10, when Christ comes back, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which," so in this day of the Lord, which is 1,000 years, "in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So when Jesus Christ comes back at the end of the 7 years, that's the day of the Lord, the beginning. That day of the Lord, it says, "in the which the heavens will pass away, the earth will be burned up." That's 1,000 years later. That's how you know the day of the Lord is not a single day. It's the day of the Lord when He is on this earth and ruling as King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what the day of the Lord is. It's going to come as a thief in the night when the world least expects it. Now, we looked at verse 10 and verse 11 in Revelation 20. Let's look at Revelation 20, verse 12. Revelation 20, verse 12, talking about the dead. The dead. Revelation 20, verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great." Doesn't matter who you are, whether you're great, everybody knows your name, you're a billionaire or trillionaire, or you know, you own the internet. Or even if you created the internet, like some of them said they did. You know, Al Gore said that. Doesn't matter if you're small or great, they'll all stand before God. And the books were open. Notice the plurality. The books are open. Were open. Another book was open. So you got the books and you got the book. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's the one book. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, not the book of life. This is known as 66 books here. The Bible is. They're going to be judged out of the books. The Word's going to judge them. That confirms what Jesus said in John 12, verse 48. And they'll be judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. Everyone's judged according to their works. But that isn't what gets you saved. Your works do not save. Your works, or anybody's works, could never save. From Genesis through Revelation, it never, ever is according to works. It's always by grace through faith. It's a gracious God in the Old Testament who through mercy saved those that believe the revelation given to them. What's the revelation given to us? Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. If you believe on Him, you can have eternal life. That's what He says. You get eternal life by trusting in Jesus Christ, and that is the only thing that saves. Nothing else. Why are they going to be judged according to their works? Because their destination, their eternal destination, has already been determined. By what? Whether their name is written in the one book, the book of life. If their name's not written in the book of life, they're judged according to their works to determine the extent of their punishment. Not everybody's going to be punished the same, but I'll tell you, punishment is punishment as far as we're concerned. Hell is hell, fire is fire, burning is burning, eternity is eternity. But not everybody's going to suffer the same. There's small, there's great that are there. The dead are delivered up from the sea, from death, from hell. The mention of the book of life in Revelation 12 would lead you to believe that some at the judgment will have their names found in that book of life. Nobody from the church age will be there. How do you know that? Well, because anybody that's... When I say nobody from the church age, what I mean is anybody that's saved in the church age. We're raptured out. We stand before the judgment seat of Christ. None of us will be at this great white throne judgment as far as being judged. We may be there as witnesses, audience, but we will not be there in judgment. Our judgment as Christians is the judgment seat of Christ. This is the great white throne judgment that happens over 1,000 years after the rapture of the church. Tribulation saints, those saved during the tribulation would have already been resurrected and sitting on thrones by this time. Remember, He's going to gather His elect. His elect are saved. They're all the saved. At the end of the 7 years, He's going to send His angels before Him, Matthew 24, Revelation 19. They're going to gather His elect, so that's the saved. Now, those that are not gathered, all of them will die. They will go into the millennium. Well, I'm sorry, all those that die will be at this judgment. Those that are gathered during that end of the 7 years will be the ones that populate the millennium. Now, in Matthew 25, it says they have eternal life. The nations will have, those that are saved will have eternal life. They will go into the millennium. They will repopulate the earth with children. Like a saved person today, can two saved people have a child that never accepts Christ today? Same thing in the millennium. Two people with eternal security can go into the millennium, but when they have children, their children aren't born with eternal life. They are born with a natural body that has a choice to accept Christ during that 1,000 years or live a life of rejection. And I don't know how long they'll live. They'll live a long time, according to some other scripture that we'll probably look at. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is loose for a season. He deceives the world, and many people rise up against him. He kills them right away. They're at the great white throne judgment, waiting for their judgment then. That's who we're talking about. See where I am, because I just went through a lot of notes in a quick time. Look at Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. This judgment is also for the dead. Would indicate that it's more than likely not a judgment for those saved during the tribulation. It would also indicate that it is for those saved during the millennium. And that would be Isaiah 65 verse 20 gives us a great insight into this. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. You see that? A sinner 100 years old, he's going to be accursed. Now, much of this is speculation. It's not easy to prove. There'll be saved people being judged at the great white throne judgment. But it's an even harder task to prove that saved people won't be there in some ways. In other words, the millennial saint, not the church age. Church age saint, again, judgment seat of Christ. You will not be at the great white throne judgment. If you're lost today and the rapture happens tomorrow, and you go into the tribulation and you never receive Christ as your Savior during that 7 years, you never trust in Him, you are never supernaturally protected from deception once you trust in Him, whether you take the mark or just die in unbelief, you'll end up at that great white throne judgment. Look at Jude verse 6. Better not go to chapter 6 or you got the wrong Bible. Right before Revelation, some angels have been reserved in chains awaiting the judgment of the great day. Jude 6. The Bible says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day." Some of the angels are in darkness, chained even today, waiting this judgment. Not all the angels, not all the fallen angels are there. But he says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate." Some say that's the angels of Genesis 6. They came down to earth and saw that the women of men were fair and they had offspring and giants were in the earth. I don't know. I know there's a lot of talk about it. You know, people searching for what they call the Nephilim. I don't spend a lot of time on that just because I need to spend my time in the Bible with what I know, not surmising and trying to figure out how can I get something and give something that's, you know, just, you know, like the blood moon fiasco. They were talking about the blood moons and all the blood. Listen, they weren't blood moons. That would be the sixth seal of Revelation. We'd be halfway through the tribulation or thereabouts. They weren't blood moons. It was just a mess with people trying to make money off other people and get up and preach something that nobody's ever heard. I'm not here to preach anything you haven't heard. Now, you may not have heard many of the things that I teach, but they're in the Bible. They're not me trying to get sensationalistic, and that's what I try to avoid. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. I just think this is pretty neat. Talking to Christians, look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, we're talking about judging the angels, or the angels being judged. Look at what verse 3 in 1 Corinthians 6 says. "Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" The Bible says we're going to judge angels. Now, I could, you know, can you imagine if I was sensationalistic, I would get a whole sermon around us judging angels and tell you what it's going to be like and how it's going to work and how they're going to bring them up and what it's going to look like and how heaven... I can't tell you all that stuff because I don't know. But I could do a whole sermon around it in order to dazzle people. And you dazzle them by getting sensationalistic. That's what I avoid in preaching. I'll tell you this. Christians will judge angels. Done. That's all I can tell you. It's like when I was at the mission and I was down there several times a week. I started out one time a month when I first got called to preach in 1984 on a Friday night. And then I started another night, Saturday night, maybe up at the farm. And then every day at lunch. And I became the president of the mission. And then, you know, on and on and on. But these, I would preach this message, and I would preach. And now let me change it to the school instead. So I would teach 120 students a day, one class, Bible class in the school. 120 students in one class teaching Bible. And I'd say, I would tell them, you're gonna receive the things done in your body, whether it be good or bad. And they'd ask me, what's that mean? You're going to receive the things done in your body, whether that be good or bad. You know, they've been told, look, kumbaya, everything's okay, you're saved, you can just do whatever you want. That's what they think sometimes. But I told them, you're going to stand before the judgment and you're going to receive the thing. This is Scripture, quote unquote, Scripture. You're going to receive the things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. Now, whether I was at the mission or in front of all those kids, they'd say, what's that mean? You know what I'd say? You're going to receive the things done in your body, whether it be good or bad. And they would inevitably ask me, but what does that mean again? You know what I'd say? You're going to receive the things done in your body, whether it be good or bad. That's a fear. Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. That's what the verse says. You know what my job was? You know what my responsibility was? To try to get people to understand, listen, you better fear God a little bit before you start playing fast and loose with the things of God and thinking you can go out there and live as you please in the world because you're a Christian and you're forgiven and you're going to heaven and, oh, everything's all right. No, it's not. You're going to receive the things done in your body, whether it be good or bad. Now, I know we think sometimes we get away with our sin because God doesn't conk us over the head as soon as we sin. But your sin, my sin, put Jesus on the cross. It cost Him everything. We cannot presume upon God. That's it. Got a little dry there. My COVID cough. Just kidding. Go back to Revelation 20, verse 13. We're going to try to look at verse 13 and 14 tonight. Revelation 20, verse 13, talking about the books. The Bible says in verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Look at Matthew chapter 12. The books manifest the works. So if God says, thou shalt not steal, and a lost person stands before God, and that book is open and it says, thou shalt not steal, he'll be judged according to that verse. Matthew 12, verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Can you imagine the idleness of the words that are spoken every day? Just turn on the news. A lot of idle talk. A lot of repetitive talk too. Look at Romans 3 along these same lines. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, Romans 3:19, it saith to them who are them that are under the law. Why? That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You know what the purpose of the law was? Not to justify anybody. Purpose of the law was to show that you are a lawbreaker. The purpose of the law is if you go to somebody and you say, hey, Have you ever broken the Ten Commandments? You ask them, well, how do you get to heaven? They might say, well, being a good person, being nice to people. They'll tell you all this stuff. You say, well, no, that's not what it is. But you think it's okay if you just keep the I've kept the Ten Commandments. Well, name them to me. Well, of course, most of them could never do. But then you start asking them the Ten Commandments. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Have you ever told a lie? What's that make you? And that's what you do. You know the world. The law is to show you that you are a lawbreaker. It's not to show you how good you are. That's not the purpose of the law. The speed limit isn't up there to give you kudos for going 55. Speed limit's up there because when you go 56, God forbid that anybody would do that. I've got that monitor on my car, and I've gotten dinged once. I'll keep you updated. I got 90 days. Ding once, I'm back up to 18%. I started at 25 with no dings. Did that one time I was backing up, went down to 15. Now I'm 16, 17, 18% yesterday, 18 today. Sort of stuck in 18 right now. But, I tell you what, it might make you a better driver. I found out one thing. If you really want to know how to drive better, I'll give you a hint. I come up to a stop sign, and I look, before I stop, I'm looking right, I'm looking left. I might pause. I got to stop. Well, you know what I do now? I come up to the stop sign, and I stop, or I look right. I do not look left if I'm going to the right, or either way, because that's the traffic coming to you. And so I come up to the red light. Instead of going like this and going like this, I don't look left. I can't go. So I come up and I stop, I look right, I look left, and then I go. And that is what changed my driving. So if I do that for 90 days, you know, I might become a driver that will not make my wife's heart beat and pulse and blood pressure raise when I take her to the doctor's office. You need to pray for me that I will continue this habit for the 90 days plus some. Amen. Did you say amen? Was that you? I thought that was Melody for a second. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, honey. We're going to work on it. You pray for the Lord to work on me. Turn back to, look at Romans 14. You know, that judgment that's coming is to determine the sentence. Romans 14, 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Do you know I'm not going to give an account for my wife? You're not going to give an account for your husband, your wife, your children. Your children aren't going to give an account for their parents. You're not going to give an account for your brother. You're going to give an account of himself, the Bible says. Some, and turn to Luke 12, this is where I mentioned earlier. Some will receive more severe punishment at the judgment. Luke chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the third gospel, Luke 12. Look at what it says here in verse 46. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, will point him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. To whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Look at the many stripes, few stripes. Punishment will not be equal. Rewards will not be equal. The judgment seat of Christ for Christians, we're not all going to receive the same reward. Some will be rewarded because of the gold, silver, precious stones. Others will suffer loss because of the wood, hay, and stubble. God is not everybody gets a trophy. That isn't God. That's man, how he corrupts things. When I was coming up, If you were the first place team, you got a trophy. If you were second place, you might as the runner-up, but not if you were in last place, a participation trophy. Now look, you probably got to do it today. I get that. But listen, if you make a rule, do this and you will receive this, for instance, give your children a job to do and say, listen, if you do this, I'll pay you a dollar. And they don't do it, don't pay them. Simple as that. They say, well, kids say, oh, that's so unfair. You gave a dollar to my sister, my brother. No, you don't get it because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. If you don't do that, then they have an expectation that, look, I can just do as I please and there are no consequences to my actions. There are consequences to every action, and we must understand that even as adults, we sometimes think there are no consequences. You're going to receive the things done in your body, whether it be good or bad. Consequences to actions. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Some will receive a more tolerable punishment. Now get that. A more tolerable punishment. You'll see what I mean here in a minute. I think of America when I start reading this verse, but Matthew 11, 23, and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Can you imagine America today with what's going on? If God doesn't judge and hasn't already started judging America, He, I guess, would have to, quote-unquote, apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And maybe even Capernaum. We have serious problems in this country, and they seem to be getting worse, but that's Bible too, because the Bible says men shall wax worse and worse in the last days. How bad is it going to get? Worse. Say, well, that's so negative. And so, no, it's not. As you see people getting worse, you get better. You get more encouraged. You pray more. Let me tell you something. I got to brag on you. Nina had the heart attack, and Carrie called me and said, you know, her kidneys are failing. I told them to go ahead and resuscitate, and, you know, they didn't give her a lot of hope. I sent it to Melody, and I think I called you, and then I said, I'm going to send you the email. I sent her the email. She sent it out. I get another call from Carrie, and she says they've resuscitated her, and she's cognizant, and they're going to move her to ICU out of the emergency room, and we get to go in and see her. Praise God. Amen. Answer to prayer. Why? Well, maybe she won't make it through the night. Maybe she'll make it 10 more years. I mean, she's 92. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. At least her daughter and son-in-law get to go see her and talk to her. I don't know about you, but that's answered prayer. I didn't send out that prayer request and go, oh, just pray that God will heal her. She's 92. You don't pray for that. What's the will of God? The will of God might be this. I just want to keep her alive long enough to give her daughter comfort, because she came to church and she did what she's supposed to do, and she didn't go over there and pick her up this morning because she was sick, and the grandson was with her and said, hey, she thinks she ate too much chocolate, she's throwing up, and you know, just go to church. She went to church and then goes over there and has to take her to the hospital, and oh, she's just distraught. God is good. And if God lets her talk to her mama, and then her mama's dancing in glory an hour later, and I've already talked to her about it. In fact, I'll tell you, I was at a hospital and I went to visit somebody up in Knoxville maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I'd heard this woman struggled with disconnecting all of the devices that were keeping her husband there, and finally they talked her into it, and the family's there and said, you gotta disconnect. And she finally disconnected and he died, and I came in that hospital room knowing that, and I came in the visiting room next door, and I walked in there, and she said, I said, can you imagine what he's doing right now? Can you imagine how he feels about you? Do you know he's probably thanking you up there right now for what you decided to do? It may have been the hardest decision you ever did, but he's praising God right now. I didn't even let her tell me. And by the way, I'm going to do the same to any of you that try the same thing. If you try to keep somebody down here for months and months and months hooked to a machine, they're probably in there saying, unhook me, let me go. Think on the positive side. No, you listen, we have hope unlike those that have no hope. Make sure you talk about it. I remember when Judy's dad was in the hospital, and we all went in there, the whole family's there, and she's got two sisters and a brother, and three sisters and a brother. There was another one, I forgot. And her mom's there, and we're talking, and I just said to her, I said, well, what, did you guys ever discuss this? And she says, no, we never talked about it, about taking off the machines. I said, boy, we sure did. I told my wife, I said, don't you connect me to a machine, especially if it's going to lead me in a vegetated state. Just let me go. And the doctor's saying the same thing, and then we had somebody come in the waiting room, and he says, yeah, I've been coming here for 3 months. My wife's connected to the machines and keeping her alive. Whew. I'm going to tell you, that's tough. And they're probably not even there. So think about those things as I have an opportunity to bring it up. Listen, nobody wants to say goodbye. Nobody wants to disconnect. You need to have a living will that expresses your desires. I don't want to be resuscitated, you know, except in a minimal extent. I think it's called something measures, extreme measures taken. I don't want to have a tube in me and, you know, yeah, go ahead and, you know, zap that heart one time or two times or three, but after that, let her stop. Five or six. How many you want? Six? Three? None? I'm ready to go. Well, I was just thinking, you know, if you wanted to zap me a couple times, yeah, it could be a thrill. I don't know. I'm just kidding. That's terrible. Terrible, terrible. Look at Matthew 23. We have to think about these things. Listen, you know, the Bible says in Thessalonians that we have hope, not like the world. Think about that. But listen, we're still going to sorrow. I'm going to tell you what, Carrie was crying on the phone. You better believe she was crying. Not because she has no hope, but it's her mama. I don't really know how to handle that. I'm building that house over there, and we got a handicap room, and saying, hey, if my mom comes down or up from Sarasota now and has to live with us, listen, that's fine. But I can't imagine being without my mom and dad. Judy's lost her mom and dad already. Mine are still alive. It's tough to think about. But I'll tell you this, you better talk about it. Here's why. If I don't tell her what my wishes are, then it becomes her decision. Then I'm putting all that on her. Y'all heard me. Let me go. And let me go first, because I need you, so you can't go first. A little selfishness there, just so you know. Matthew, that's our deal. I got to go first. I need her. She doesn't need me as much. Matthew 23, look at verse 13. Look, I'm only kidding. We're both in need of each other. But Matthew 23, I'm also trying to be very humble and, you know, a good husband and, you know, appreciative of my wife. And what better thing can you say, let me die first? Other than that's totally selfish. Matthew 23:13, some will receive a greater damnation. Look at verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye to shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. You know what the mass is? It's a long prayer. Just saying. There are some that are going to receive a greater damnation. That's tough. Now, let's look at verse 14 and 15, and with this, we'll wrap up tonight. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. Revelation 20, verses 14 and 15. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in to the lake of fire. The second death. Death is cast in the lake of fire. Hell is cast into the lake of fire. Hell is not the same as the lake of fire. They're two different places until hell is cast in the lake of fire and it consumes or they become one. Hell is the holding place for the unsaved dead until the time for them to be delivered up to the great white throne judgment. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into that lake of fire. They will burn forever. There'll be no relief. If you've ever burnt your finger, can you imagine your whole body in fire for all eternity? If you reject Christ, that's your destination. Look at Revelation 21, verse 8. The lake of fire. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. A lake of fire, it's quite possibly comparable to a lake of waters. We know it, yet the water would be fire and brimstone. What a fearful thing. Let me conclude with these thoughts. The dead, both small and great, will stand before the judge of all the earth. The books will be open, and they'll be judged according to their works in comparison to what's in those books. It's a fearful time for those who do not know God. Those who are saved in the age that we live in will not be judged at the judgment, but the knowledge of its events ought to stir up each one of us to talk to others about Christ. We need to be witnesses. We need to be ambassadors of Christ. We need to talk to a lost and dying world about what He did on that cross so that nobody has to suffer in the way that I've described from the Scripture tonight and this morning. Nobody. Jesus Christ died on that cross. He became the full payment for sin. If you believe on Him and you trust in Him, you can have forgiveness and salvation. Just like that. One moment you're lost, the next moment you're saved. One moment you were on your way to this lake of fire, hell before that, and the next moment you are on your way to heaven's glory. And let me tell you something. When somebody dies on the one side that you know for sure is saved, no matter how sad somebody becomes, no matter how distraught they miss that person, the joy is that, look, they'll see him again. They'll see him again. I want to see every one of you in heaven again. I want to see every one of you. Saying, well, we're all saved people here. I don't know what your heart is. I know about one person, that's me. Say, well, you don't know about your wife? I'm just telling you. The only person, I wasn't there when she got saved. I can tell you, my spirit bears witness with her spirit. My spirit bears witness with the spirits of many of the others around here. But all I can tell you is I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. And I have the assurance that many of you are too. But I don't know. Don't play games with God. Don't think that, well, I'm going to be the exception and he'll give me a pass because I'm not so bad, or, you know, I haven't lived a bad life. And look at all these people that have done so much worse than me. It'll be the Word that judges you. And the Word says, you either know Jesus or you don't. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct during the invitation time. We pray for your will to be done. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. With the music playing, heads bowed, eyes closed, if God's spoken to you in some way, step out from where you are. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, I will talk to you. There are others here that will talk to you.